Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
You ain't got no game, Marth.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just take it out. Take it out back. Get yourself off the court.
You need to go to the weight room.
All right, everybody, Bill Quinn and Steve Marth just doing a little trash talking here before we get started on Newsworthy Clips. Yeah, man, we're going to kick your team all over the court today. You ready for that, chump?
Bring it.
Yeah, all right. Well, if you don't know what trash talking is, we're going to tell you what trash talking is for the next half an hour here on Newsworthy Clips. Quite a departure from what we normally do here on Advanced Studio Classroom, which is teach proper English and grammar. We're going to be talking about trash talking, which is not proper English and grammar. Right, Steve Marth?
Right. It's not something that we recommend you go out and start using in school or in your business, but it's fun to talk about, and it's something that happens in sports.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you follow sports. I know you're a big baseball fan, but you do watch football and basketball, the NFL and NBA, and you ever pick up when these guys are talking some trash on the field or court?
Yeah, and it's kind of fun now. They have microphones now.
Yeah.
More recently, that could pick up that stuff on the field, whereas before you had to kind of read lips to decide what they were saying. But now you can hear it more, and sometimes they'll play it on the television for you.
Yeah, a lot of times people in the audience, especially the TV audience, might be wondering, what are these guys talking about? You will see players talking on the field, and you wonder, you know, are they discussing pleasantries? Are they making arrangements for dinner later on? Are they talking about maybe what they, you know, did last weekend? But a lot of times, it's nothing more than maybe one guy telling the other one how much better he is than that guy.
Right. By looking at them, you can tell they're not really happy with each other. Maybe they're arguing with something about something. And yes, they are probably trash talking.
All right. Now, Joanna Wirtz is also here in the studio with us, but I don't know if Joanna's ever done any trash talking. Have you ever done that?
No, I only speak politely.
I know. I know. I'm.
But she's from Texas.
Yes.
So we let her in on this episode.
Well, I knew there was a
thank
reason.
You.
She was here today. Well, my desk is not far from Joanna's, and I can testify that that is true. I have never heard Joanna get involved in any trash talking. And, you know, so it's something that – and, of course, I mean, you're in a different generation. And that's actually what we get into in this article. Kobe Bryant talks about the generational differences in there. And I just wonder if – Steve and I grew up in sports where these athletes did a lot of trash talking on the field. And does that happen, you know, with athletes that are in the 20s, early and mid-20s?
According to this article, much less often than it used to. I've never been really involved in athletics, so I can't say personally. My personality is very calm, so even if I can laugh at someone else's trash talk, I'm not very good at trash talking other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're thankful for that, Joanna. And actually, we need people like you around here working at Studio Classroom to offset the negative influences of trash talkers like me and Steve Marth, who are walking around the hallways yelling at our coworkers, telling them how bad they are and how good we are.
Well, I'm not sure I've ever heard you walk around yelling at us.
I just never.
But I imagine you could if you really tried.
If I really want, I just never have directed any of my trash talk towards you. I save it for people like Simon Stops and Brian Hagerle.
Okay,
and
fair
Gabe
enough.
Harbor and Super Sentence Man.
Fair enough.
During
old boys club. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a guy's thing. Oh. So, yeah, I think for the most part, trash talking is a guy's thing. That's another. Joanna mentioned something is that we need to be aware of. Women's sports have become more prominent in the last 10 or 15 years. And surprisingly, you wouldn't think this, but from the articles I've read, there is some heavy-duty trash talking that goes on in women's sports.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. My university team, their basketball, women's basketball team, one of our players punched another girl in the face because the other girl was trash-talking her, and it wasn't all in good fun.
Yeah, yeah. So there are instances, that's right, of in women's athletics that the women get a little out of control also. So it's not just a guy thing. For a reference point, let me also tell our listeners, maybe if you go back to the previous World Cup that was being held in Germany, probably the most famous trash-talking case. What happened, Joanna?
Well, as I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was against France and Italy, and a French player was saying something unkind about...
Let me reverse it. Uh-huh. The Italian player was saying it to French player, Zinedine Zidane.
I'm sorry?
The star of France.
Oh.
The star for Les Bleus, Zinedine Zidane. So the Italian defender was
talking bad about the other player's mom and sister, maybe?
That's right. That's right. The Italian defender was trash-talking to Zinedine Zidane about saying things about his mom and his sister.
Oh, you don't insult your mom and sister.
No, that's bad. Bad form.
So what happened?
I think he headbutted him, right?
He headbutted him. Zinedine Zidane got so upset about this trash talk, which was just total garbage. But the Italian player upset him so much that Zinedine Zidane then headbutted him in the chest. And then the result was Zinedine Zidane got tossed out of the game. The French lost their biggest star, and they go on to lose the game.
Mm. So in that respect, we could say the trash talking worked.
It did work. That guy accomplished what he wanted.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because that's what the goal of trash talking is. You want to get inside your opponent's head and get his focus off the game so that you can beat him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, advanced listeners, open up your advanced magazine to page 30 and bear with us today. We are not promoting trash talking amongst our readers and listeners. We're just explaining it. Just for today, it's an interesting topic. So let's have our first reading. It'll be in the left column, and we'll just go down to line 19.
Art of trash talking nearly extinct in NBA. Trash talking is a lost art, especially with this generation of players, Kobe Bryant said recently. Everybody grows up around everybody, so nobody wants to trash-talk each other. One reason for the reduced banter is the league's crackdown on anything controversial. Officials simply won't allow it. Players are now assessed technicals and fines any time they open their mouths to say anything other than hello and thank you.
Art of trash talking nearly extinct in NBA. So, well, we introduced the topic of trash talking in the opening section of our program today. Now, what do we mean nearly extinct?
Well, not many people do it anymore. It's a dying art. I like the way the author says it's an art. An art is something that requires finesse. It requires some intelligence and in art, there's often beauty. So in one sense, there is a beauty, an intelligence, and a finesse to talking trash.
I think it also includes a bit of mental control to trash talk because you don't want to cross a line. You're trying to have fun. Maybe you're trying to get into your opponent's head a little bit, mess with their mind, make them a little bit angry. But I think there's a line also. And if you just lose all your control and say the worst things you can think of, that's not the way to do it.
That's right. And I want to make a point clear that trash talking may include but doesn't normally include dirty language.
Yeah.
Trash talking is not using foul language.
Yeah.
So we need to make that clear at the start.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, most of the time it does not. And there are actually some athletes are much better at trash talking than others are. In some ways, and I've read some of the quotes from these guys. I've read sports books and about what these guys have said on the field. The best trash talkers, almost they could be stand-up comedians because some of the stuff they come up with in the middle of the game if you're just a spectator, it makes you laugh like crazy. If you're the opponent, it makes you mad. But when you hear what they say, you're like, wow, that's really creative.
That's right. It's creative, it's simple, and it's clean.
Yeah.
It's family friendly.
Yeah.
It's clever. It's a fun use of words that's an insult, but not always, you're a horrible player. I wish we didn't even have to see you today. That's not trash talk. That's just dumb. It's clever. That's the way I can best describe it.
Clever is a good way of describing it. So now we hear from Kobe Bryant. He says trash talking is a lost art, especially with this generation of players. There's a picture of Kobe there in action. And Kobe's an expert at trash talking. We'll learn that a little bit later in the article. And he continues in line 9.
Yeah, he says everybody grows up around everybody, so nobody wants to trash talk each other. When you trash talk each other, or when you trash talk, you're kind of insulting somebody and you're putting them down. And people don't really want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, what he means here by everybody grows up around everybody, when I was growing up in the cities, you didn't have that much interaction with people from other cities. So, for instance, in Pittsburgh, our bitter rivals are Cleveland and Philadelphia. And we had no interaction with the people there. So if we ever played sports against these people, they were strangers. We didn't know them. And so we didn't really care about them. We didn't care what they felt. They weren't our friends. They were our enemies. And so we did not know them. And that actually goes back a generation or two where rivals were strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was not friendship. There weren't fond feelings. But now he's saying everybody grows up around everybody because of ease of travel. Teams are traveling. Even in grade school and high school, teams are traveling across the country. Everybody gets to know each other. They meet when they're young, and they become friends. They're no longer strangers. That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's one of the reasons. And we continue in line 12 with another reason.
Well, another reason for the reduced banter or fun chit-chat conversation is the league's crackdown on anything controversial. A crackdown is something that people do to become really strict suddenly. Crackdown on drugs, crackdown on foul language in school. That means suddenly the people in charge are being more strict about it.
Yeah. Okay. They're really enforcing the rules to try and dissuade people from behaving a certain way. Banter.
Banter is kind of chit-chat, like Joanna said. It's informal. It's casual.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So now the people who are cracking down, the people that are charged with cracking down on this, they wear black and white stripes, right?
Those are the referees or the officials, the league officials. They won't allow anything controversial. No fights, no gray areas, mm-hmm. no sentence one player said that could be interpreted one way or another way. None of that now.
Yeah, and that is actually – it's going to be a result of a mandate coming down from the league office. The president of the league is going to – it actually came out and pretty much has told the referees to have this crackdown. And there's a reason for it. This goes back about 6 or 7 years. And, Steve, I know you remember this, is when the fight up in between the – I believe it was the Chicago Bulls or the Indiana Pacers and Detroit Pistons in Detroit got out of hand because of some trash talk, players pushing and shoving. The brawl ended up in the stands and fans were involved. So that's a result. That's why there's a crackdown.
Yeah. The fact is NBA basketball is entertainment. It's a product. And the people who are in charge, they want to keep it clean because if there's any controversy surrounding it, it affects the bottom line. They'll lose money.
Yeah. So the league decided after that fight that ended up in the stands, they said, no, we've got to crack down on this. And the officials simply won't allow it. Right, Joanna? The players are now what?
They are assessed technicals and fines anytime they open their mouth to say anything other than hello and thank you. I wonder if they're being a little bit sarcastic here, but really, yeah, they're punished.
Yeah, that sentence is a little sarcastic. They can get away with a little bit more than hello and thank you. So But it is it's emphasizing how different the behavior is. The players used to have free rein.
They could say anything they want.
They used to be able to say almost anything they want. But now it's completely changed, and they are assessed technicals. Now, are we talking about like people that work at Apple and Google, technicals?
Technicals here is similar as punishment for violating sportsmanship standards and rules. And when you're given a technical, it's a foul. Okay, so you're punished.
Right.
One way you're punished is by allowing you – you give the other team a chance to score points,
mm-hmm.
and you may even have to pay a fine.
Yeah. Now, in an NBA game, the players are allowed 6 personal fouls. That's if Steve goes up for a shot and I hit him in the hand, that's a personal foul. And I'm allowed 6 of those violations. But in an NBA game, I'm allowed 2 technicals. I might get a technical for yelling at a fan or the referee. But if I get 2 technicals, I'm thrown out of the game. So that's what happens. So the players definitely don't want to get thrown out of the game, because then if they are thrown out of the game, they do get fined $25,000 for being thrown out of a game.
Okay.
So that will make you be a little bit calmer. So,
I hope that improves your manners a little bit.
Hello. Thank you. All right. Let's get on with our second reading.
It certainly has cleaned up the league from Cavaliers coach Byron Scott's playing days of the 1980s, but it has also stripped away a colorful component of the game. No one was better at it than Larry Bird. During one game, Bird was alone in the corner, and Scott was on defense. After the shot went up, as Scott went soaring by him, Bird said, "Byron, you're a little too late." When I came down, I turned around and looked, and there it was going through the basket, Scott says. He was very respectful, but he did it just as well as anybody I've ever been around. With the exception of Bryant and Boston's Kevin Garnett, most of those players are long gone, replaced with a sterile, antiseptic generation of players who often meet on the AAU circuit, become friends in college, and are all best buddies before even entering the league.
Okay, I mentioned a little bit earlier in our discussion that growing up in Pittsburgh, the rival cities were Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And the reason I bring that up again is because in the beginning of this section that we're reading here, we're talking about the basketball team and actually the current coach of the Cleveland team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I do want to mention we have Cavaliers in line 21. That's where the NBA team, the Cavaliers, they're located in Cleveland. And how do we start?
Well, we go back in time, and this man is talking about the old days when trash talk was allowed. And he said it was a colorful time. I think he's reminiscing. He enjoyed that time. He enjoyed the ability to trash talk on the court.
Yeah, I think he did enjoy it. And, you know, Byron Scott was there. Actually, he was a long, long time player and actually was there with Magic Johnson in L.A. and the Lakers, the early glory days, won several NBA championships as a teammate with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the Lakers. So he was a star player also. And he says it stripped away a colorful component. What's he mean, stripped away?
Just taken away. Like you peeled it off almost.
Yeah.
Or peel away.
Okay. A colorful component. Extra in addition to the regular skills of dribbling and making long shots and dunks, there was all of this chatter going on, the banter. And Byron Scott, what does he say about who was pretty good at this?
Larry Bird. No, he says no one was better at it than Larry Bird.
Okay. Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, all-star, Hall of Famer. He played for the Boston Celtics, won some titles up there in Boston, became the coach of the Pacers for a while. He's a legend.
Okay.
Not only with his basketball skills, but now we read he's a legend because he was a legendary trash talker.
All right. And in fact, in that next paragraph, Byron Scott provides a little bit of a narrative.
Well, he's saying that Bird was alone in the corner, on the court, not somewhere else, alone in the corner.
Okay.
The corner of the court.
Very good.
And Scott was on defense, so it's Scott's job to try to keep the ball from going into the net. Mm-hmm. And he says after the shot went up, or after whoever shot the ball, Scott goes soaring by him. He jumps.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'm translating.
Trying
I don't even know how to play
shot.
Basketball.
He jumps. He's soaring by like a bird.
And Bird says, Byron, you're a little too late.
Love it. It's simple. It's clever. Mm-hmm. It's clean. That's trash talk.
Yeah. Like, what's he mean?
He's like, Byron, you're too slow for me.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to defend me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice try, but you got here a little too late.
Yeah.
So the shot is already on its way. And in fact, what happened?
Well, he came down, turned around, looked, and there it was going through the basket. That's what Scott says. So indeed, he was too late. He did not block the shot.
Okay. And then he had to turn around and watch Larry Bird's perfect shot go through the hoop. And it's really interesting to me that Larry Bird was cool enough of a character to have the wherewithal to actually play the game, make the shot that's still up in the air, and make a smart comment to Byron Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then another comment that Bird might have made, or he made this at another time, but he would even talk trash to the opposing coach. And he'd say, Coach, you better take this guy out and send somebody in who can who can D me up, who can play good defense on me. This guy's not doing it.
Yeah, yeah. So you're right. He would. He would talk to the other coach and say, put somebody in here who can guard me. So, all right. So then that was with Byron Scott talking about this, the trash talking he did. But then he goes on to say he was very respectful, but meaning Bird, but he did it just as well as anybody I've ever been around. So Byron Scott not only admired Larry Bird's basketball skills, but he admired his trash-talking skills.
Yeah. It's an art, like we said earlier. It requires some intelligence, some cleverness, and Larry Bird had it.
Okay. Now, in the next sentence, Joanna, we shift to the present.
Well, we see here that with the exception of Bryant and Boston's Kevin Garnett, most of these players are long gone. These players who are used to trash-talking on the court, they're gone, and they've been replaced by a cleaner, less, I don't want to say dirty, but less emotional, heated, verbal player, group of players.
Well, speaking of long gone, yes, you know, there's Larry Bird, but there's Charles Barkley, used to be a big trash talker. And guess what? Michael Jordan, his airness himself, was one of the top trash talkers when he was in the league. He
That's
was
right.
known. For getting under the skin of his opponents. Not only was he a great player, but he would tell them how good he was during the game. So there's Michael Jordan jumping over you, running past you, and then laughing at you.
How frustrating would that be?
That's the art. You don't have to say anything mean or dirty at all. All you have to do is annoy the other players so much that they can't focus.
Yeah.
No one wants to be told how to do their job or how to play. That's the annoying part.
I read he even trash-talked his teammates to motivate them in practices. He would trash-talk his teammates just as a way to kind of make them angry, try to make them better. Yeah, because he wanted to win championships. He didn't want guys to be complacent or settle, and he would actually trash-talk his teammates. They'd get angry at him, but they would start playing better. So, all right, so most of these players are long gone, replaced with what?
Well, author says sterile, antiseptic. This is just another way of saying boring.
Yeah.
Not as colorful, more boring. It's not as fun to watch.
Okay.
They don't trash talk anymore.
All right. They've cleaned up their act. It's an antiseptic generation of players who most often meet on the AAU circuit. And what this is like a high school circuit for top basketball players in America, the top high school basketball players. During the summer, when they're off of school, they play for these AAU, Amateur Athletic Union, teams. They're like all-star teams from all the cities. So these guys meet when they're 16, 17 years old. So now the guys from Pittsburgh meet the guys from Cleveland and Philadelphia. Then they go hang out after the games. They go to dinner. They actually become friends. And that's what we're talking about, the AAU circuit. And then they become friends in college. And then they're all best buddies before they even enter the NBA.
I guess when you're that good at your sport and it's been with you ever since you were a teenager, when you're that social and involved in it, I can't really blame them. If you grow up feeling like these other players, even your opponents, are like your brothers, then you might want to, you know, yank their chain a little bit, insult them, but do you really want to play mind games with them and get in their head and bother them?
It becomes almost, they're your friends, they're your family, it becomes their life.
Yeah.
And so it's their circle, it's an elite group of players, it becomes their circle. So, all right, before we go any further, let's have the last two paragraphs.
Luke Walton is in his 10th season and said Bryant is easily the best trash talker he's been around. He's so good at it because trash talking gets you mad as a competitor, Walton says. The relatively easygoing Walton surprisingly loves to talk trash and has received his fair share of fines and technical fouls for it. Players are fined $2,000 for each of their first five technicals, then it escalates to $3,000 for each of the next five.
Kobe Bryant's father, Jelly Bean Joe Bryant, was an NBA center. And actually, we meet Luke Walton here. He's the son of Bill Walton, another NBA great center. So it's in the family with these guys. Certainly the genetic part of it being tall. Luke Walton is in his 10th season. And what did he say?
Well, he says Bryant is easily the best trash talker he's been around. So Bryant still has it. He's got the basketball skills, but he also has the trash talking skills.
Yeah, he's so good, Luke Walton says here. He's so good at it because trash talking gets you mad as a competitor. And we talked about that earlier in the program, mentioning the World Cup game between Italy and France and how Zinedine Zidane just lost his temper. Now, we also then learn about the relatively easygoing Walton in the next paragraph.
Well, easygoing, meaning chill, not very, you know, just a calm personality. Walton actually loves to talk trash, and he's also gotten his fair share of fines for it because he's been trash-talking on the court.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that Luke Walton also enjoys this trash-talking, and we see here, we talked a little bit about the technicals earlier and their, some of their fines.
Yeah, you get fined money for it, and you get a technical for it, so it's something you don't want to do very often. I think the more technicals you accumulate through the season, the higher the rate goes. Is that right?
Yeah, the rate does go up. That's right. It does accumulate throughout the season. I mentioned if they get thrown out of a game, it's a $25,000 fine. But this is also in addition, this extra fine here that's just accumulated throughout the year. So, and they actually keep statistics on who is the leader in technical fouls. So you never want to be the leader in that. Listeners, thanks for joining us for day one of Newsworthy Clips Trash Talking. Come on back tomorrow, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.
Bye, friends.
Bye.